This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And it's Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. And don't forget, Joy's Radiothon is on now.
Every donation is tax deductible. And remember, we will make better use of the money than any government of any political persuasion ever will. It's much better spent here.
Keep those donations coming.
Keep them coming. Our next guest is Fiona Patten. Fiona is the leader of the Reason Party. For those of you who have shortish memories, that was previously the Sex Party. And Fiona has been a supporter of our community for a very, very, very long time, Fiona. So thank you. So thank you for that. And I remember, I think the first time we spoke for you was many years ago when you were standing for election. Was it third or fourth time lucky you got elected?
It was fourth time lucky.
Fourth time, so, that's right.
But I have a feeling, we registered the party just at the very end of 2009, and I ran in the Higgins by-election, which was not probably the place one would expect the Sex Party to have its first outing. If people know that Higgins is the Toorak and that side of the South, very upmarket south side inner city electorate. So, yeah, it was a baptism by fire, I can tell you.
It was. And, look, it's really important, you know, just as independence and honesty and reality in politics is really important. And, you know, I admire what you do because that's what you stand for, Fiona, and, you know, that our station also stands for that.
That's right.
And, you know, Tass, just in the last few minutes, we've got some more donations and memberships, which we'll read out after we've spoken with Fiona.
About to say finished with Fiona, but that's really the wrong word, isn't it?
We will never be finished. We'll never be finished with Fiona.
Fiona, we are definitely not finished with you.
We ain't done with you yet, darling.
Oh, thank goodness. This is not looking like it was going to be a good day.
Now, Fiona, we've had a number of politicians on this morning and we've asked everybody the same question. I'm going to ask you as well because it's just interesting in this, very, very strange environment with a pandemic, with things behaving and operating very differently. What's keeping you focused at the moment? What's keeping you busy? What are the demands on your time at the moment?
I've been extremely busy, and I'm sure, like many people who are still able to work, you know, we are well and truly over seeing the walls and living rooms of some of our work colleagues via Zoom, and I think I've been extremely busy, and there's so many people who are affected in so many different ways, whether that's mental health, whether that's homelessness, whether it's just people getting stuck in the wrong part of the country and not being able to get back to loved ones who desperately need their help. So it's been a busy time. I think what I've been trying to focus on, and because this is not, you know, this has been a very strange state for me. I've been completely on my own at home, and I'm normally out of the door at 7 and back in at 10. So I have found this quite difficult. But just thinking of what we are learning in this time and what we may continue to do differently. You know, if you look at just for example, in the Melbourne CBD, prior to COVID, prior to the lockdown, there was around 280 rough sleepers. As of last week, there was 24. If a woman rings up a family violence hotline, crisis line, and says, I am desperate, I need help, they are helped immediately. We can help them immediately now, where 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, we would have had great difficulty in finding a safe place for that woman to go quickly. And so, you know, we are doing things differently. The way we work from home, the way, I don't think anybody wants to do it all the time, but the idea of having more flexible working arrangements that will have a great effect on our congestion when we come back, it'll have a great effect on our mental health.
Did you know that on Wednesday there were more medical or clinical consultations that were performed using telehealth approaches as opposed to face-to-face?
I didn't know that. But doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Doesn't that make sense? But if you're unwell, to schlep out down to the a clinic, when really the doctor just needs to talk to you, needs to understand your symptoms, needs to understand where you are, and can probably provide very good advice over the phone or over video conferencing, and keeps everybody safer. I hope that there are these wonderful opportunities that may come out of this.
I agree. Now, I'm hoping that that's something that we actually don't lose, that we embrace and we continue to develop. I mean, I recently had to arrange a medical consultation for my father, who was unwell. He has a great relationship with his GP, so I was able to call his GP. I had a quick conversation. He agreed to call Dad and do a medical consultation over the phone. He then called me back to say, well, this is what I'm going to do for your Dad. How would you like me to deal with the prescription? He emailed the prescription to me. I downloaded it, took it to the chemist, was able to get it filled out, get the drugs to Dad without him leaving home. Isn't that fantastic?
It is absolutely fantastic. And those are the things we really shouldn't lose. And, we are not, our hotels, our service apartments, our Airbnbs are not going to be full for a very long time. And I think we should take this opportunity to look at how we can help some of our people who are experiencing homelessness, whether that's through overcrowding, through mental health, through illness, through economic desperation or unemployment. That this is the time that nobody should be without a home, and that we really can get people back on track. And we've got this bit of time to do that. And I think now's this great opportunity. And hopefully our stimulus package, while building curly round tall buildings, will also include building some affordable housing.
You know what it's got to include, Fiona, and I know this is something you're passionate about, you want to talk about, is saving our live music venues. Now, Melbourne has been very well served, has been blessed with live music venues. So many. I'm sure you and I have spent many a smoke-filled night at a music venue in the past. And, you know, these are so important to the cultural diversity of Melbourne.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is about work. This is about entertainment. This is about, you know, the basis, you know, of our society and our culture. And live music venues are closed. The artists are not working. In some cases, yes, they're doing some things online. Tell us about your plan for this and what Joy members and Joy listeners can do to help this.
Thanks, Mac. And I know that the Arts Minister is on your program a lot, and is a great supporter of Joy, is a great supporter of our community, and is a great, he's a good arts minister, but he's got a lot on his plate. But I do think that we need to focus on our arts and culture, because for many of those live venues or even galleries, they were the first to be closed down and they will be the last to open up. So this is going to put incredible stress on those buildings. Now, some of them, and as we've seen a petition going in Bendigo, where one of the few live music venues in Bendigo is at risk of being bought up by a developer and turned into fancy offices and townhouses. Now, he's put a petition to say, could we have a moratorium on these venues? Because at the moment, these venues are doing it very tough. But I hope when we're at the other end of this and we're able to go out and about and seek out our favourite live music, that these venues will be able to prosper again. But they have to still exist at the end. So a moratorium there. Some of our festivals have been under a bit of pressure prior to COVID, and certainly we saw Rainbow being cancelled because of the fires. So I think our festivals, which bring so many people together, which bring artists together, which are a real backbone of some of our arts and culture economy, we need to ensure that they also can exist in whatever new way that is. And I suspect as we're going to do many things differently, that will be done differently. Whether we can get some small grants out to our artists, $10,000, $5,000, to help them get through this time and to prosper and to learn during this time. I mean, we're probably looking at, we're definitely going to be looking at double figures unemployment across the board, but some people are anticipating that unemployment in our arts and cultural community is going to be more like 70%.
Do you feel, Fiona, that our liberties are being eroded in this environment?
I am somewhat concerned. Look, it probably at the top level, no, because I do think that, for the sake of the community, sometimes we do have to forego some freedoms. And that is always the case, whether it's smoking indoors, for example, that, because of the effect that has on other people, then you don't smoke indoors, for as a very basic example. But I do think that we need to be very cautious of the types of freedoms that are removed and ensure that they are returned.
Yes.
And sometimes that's the more difficult part, that, when you take away some of those freedoms, quite often you don't get them back. And we saw that in 9/11 when, after 9/11, for temporary purposes, we were going to be able to lock up people suspected of being terrorists or suspected of doing things without trial, without warrant. We were able to do that. We still are today. And I think that's something that we tried very hard during the week to get an oversight committee established in Parliament. We weren't successful, but we won't give up on that, because that's something we all have to keep a very close eye on, is the erosion of our liberties, the ability for police to sort of use their discretion to find people or not find people. And we know quite often that that will affect our most marginalised people in the community, probably not you and I as much.
Fiona, thank you very much for your time this morning. Unfortunately, we've run out. When you're having fun, time just goes so quickly, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's so nice to talk to you guys. I can't wait to see you in the flesh.
Yeah, likewise. And thank you for your continued support for our community. We love what you do and love you spending time with us on Zoom.
I am getting online to donate now, and I encourage everybody to do it. We need independent media like you guys.
Thank you very much, Fiona. Thank you very much.
Keep independent voices on air. Support Joy Radiothon 2020. We are you. Head to joy.org.au for more details.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.